Hey, you're listening to the Encounter Church podcast. To learn more about Encounter Church, visit us at ecdenver.org, or you can find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Thank you for listening.
Tonight is about, not about that, this is about John Patrick Mahoney. And Sharon, I don't know your middle name, so I won't get into that. But this is about them and the service and the dedication, the years. I think all of you know, I met you. You were a guest speaker at David Marlene Ferguson's church in Kansas City in 1985. And I thought, what a nice guy. And what a powerful man of God. And you were our favorite guest speaker. And I always looked forward to the time that you came. And then you and I kind of had a friendship that evolved from that. But Pat came on staff, I believe it was 1978. And he came on staff at what was then Full Gospel Chapel, or you may not even have ever heard of that, but that's one of the names that we were founded by. And he began to serve in a variety of ways. And over the years, you know, Pat has held probably every position you could possibly have in ministry, except women's minister. You were never woman's minister. I they kicked you out. That's probably a good thing. But whatever Pat put his hand to, he was faithful with. He was absolutely faithful. It doesn't matter what it was. Would you go do this? Okay. And he was faithful, and God rewarded it, and he was successful. I was once talking to, I believe it was George Morrison. And, you know, he's asking my staff, and I go, well, I got Pat Mahoney. He knew you and knew of you. And I said, you know, Pat's one of those guys you can put in any role, and he will do it well. Absolutely do it well. Never have a doubt. Never fear that it's going to be done halfway. Pat's going to take care of it. And so, you know, Pat went on. He was our youth pastor. You were head of counseling. You were one of our district pastors. You were, you know, associate and a de facto teaching pastor in some ways, and just so many different things. But before we get into it, I really asked God to give me two verses. And these are verses that you would think about when you're thinking about honoring somebody who's been in ministry and been faithful and served for all those years. But two verses that would describe Pat's life and describe his ministry. And the first is 2 Timothy 2:2. And it's this: you have heard, Paul's talking to Timothy, you have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Is there anyone in this room who would say that they were affected by the teaching of Pat Mahoney? Would you just raise your hands? Look around, Mahoney. Look around and look at all these people. Wow. Yeah. And Sharon as well. I got news for you. Now, teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. We were talking before that the number of folks that Pat and Sharon have sown into over the years, the list would be too long. And how many people are teaching the Word of God because Pat taught them the Word of God and truths and things that were inspirational and life-changing that came out of their ministry. And so I think that verse very much applies to your lives, and I see evidence of that. The second is 1 Corinthians 10:31 to 11:1. And this may not seem as applicable, but listen closely. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. You're a spiritual person. I can't think of a time. I mean, you take vacations spiritually. You take, you know, everything you do is about Jesus. And I think that's cool. Don't give offense to Jews or Gentiles or the church of God. I too try to please everyone in everything I do. We can stop there. We were saying this in the pre-service prayer today. I do not know a single human being that doesn't like John Patrick Mahoney. Not one. Is there one in the room? I was just, no, don't. And Pat, you know, Pat, sometimes I can be a little rough around the edges. Pat's always gracious around the edges. And I've always said, man, I just love that. You know, I don't just do what is best for me. I do what is best for others so that many may be saved. And Pat is always about that. And you should imitate me as I imitate Christ. I am so glad that you always keep me in your thoughts and that you are following the teachings I passed on to you. I can think of a few people that I would recommend as a role model for anyone as a follower of Christ or as a minister more highly than Pat Mahoney and Sharon Mahoney. You are role models, and you've done well, and you've kept your integrity. You haven't killed me. I really appreciate that, you know. But you have served well, and you will continue to serve well. Your time of ministry is far from over. You know, I joked with someone. I said, if Pat was in my church, I'd put him to work tomorrow. You know, even volunteering, I'd find something, and Sharon as well. But having said that, I do want to share with you just a few things. And these are in no particular order of importance, but these are things that I learned about life and about ministry from Pat. The first is that people are important. If you're listening to this, know that you are important. You're important to God, and you're important to others. People are important. Pat makes everyone feel special. And it's because he loves people. It's not something he learned in a, you know, how to win friends and influence people class. It comes from the core of who he is, that he sincerely and honestly loves individuals. And it comes through, that authenticity comes through. Because Pat knows that God died for each and every one of us. And so there's no such thing as an unimportant person. You can love people, the second thing, you can love people you disagree with. That's a revelation in today's world. I you know, Pat, you know, we're both strongly opinionated. But that's okay. You have friends all across the spectrum of theology and politics and whatnot, and you've learned to be friends with people that disagree with you. And I think that is a gift from God. You can be friends with people you disagree with and maintain your integrity and your faith. That's important. Number three, you can take risks. You should take risks, even if they don't work out like you thought they would. Pat, you have rolled the dice and bet big and swung for the fences and done stuff in obedience to God. And sometimes it's worked out beautifully. And sometimes, but you never stopped pursuing faith. And you cannot be a person of faith and not take risks. It just doesn't work. But I've never heard you complain about anything that you did in obedience of God. I never heard you say, well, you know, I did that. It didn't work out. I don't know what's wrong with me. I've always heard you say, you know something? I was obedient, and that's all that matters. And if it didn't work out the way I thought, then God must have had a different plan, because I trust God. And I think that's a mature attitude that all of us as believers can embrace. Collaborative leadership is real leadership. Number four, Pat has done amazing things and led amazing programs and amazing outreaches and amazing stuff. And he's never felt the need to take the credit for any of it. In fact, Pat's just as happy if somebody else takes the credit for it. But collaborative leadership is true leadership. You know how to put a team of people together. And you never had to be the guy that said, look at me, look what I did. It was always about Jesus and about the goal and about everything. And that is integrity, folks. Number five, loyalty is important, but so is honesty. Patton has been very loyal to me, and I hope you would know that I've tried to be loyal to you. No, I've been loyal to you. But honesty is required in a healthy relationship. And Pat has been, you know, he's been one of those people that could talk to me about stuff and say, hey man, I think maybe you ought to think about this. And I respected that. But Pat understood that any healthy relationship is both loyal and honest, and that number six, friendships require grace. As Faulkner said, we don't love because we love in spite of. And that you, if you don't have grace for other people, you're never gonna have healthy relationships, because it just doesn't work that way. And people need to have grace for you. And Pat has modeled that for all of the years that I've known him. And finally, there is this, that everyone needs foundational truths based on scriptures to construct a functional life. The Bible talks about building our lives on love and on the revelation of Jesus. And the Word of God has been a foundation in the Mahoney's life. And by foundation, I mean something strong that you can build something on top of, that is not gonna, you know, it's not gonna tilt or fall over in the first storm or wind. They have built their lives on the Word of God. But in addition to that, the Word of God has been a hedge around you. You have put this boundary condition around you that are truths that are based on God's Word. And you say, you know, I only go this far. I will go no further. Because within this boundary condition, I am healthy and I am safe. I will put this hedge of protection around me and my family and my loved ones and everybody else, because I know that if I stand on these scriptures, there is nothing the enemy can do that will ultimately win. He may win a battle now and then, but the war goes to Jesus Christ. And we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and we're going to testify that we are the head and not the tail, that we are overcomers, that we are beloved of God, and that there is mercy and grace for us in the day of need. And if we mess up, because everybody messes up, his grace is more important. That's important. You got to have those foundational truths. And so those are the things that people are important. There's so many more. You can love people you disagree with, that you need to take risks if you want to follow God. It's required. That you don't have to be given credit. The collaborative leadership is important. That loyalty and honesty and grace are the foundations of any healthy relationship. And that there are scriptures and truths from the word of God that are eternal. And they serve as the foundation and the protection for anyone wanting to live a blessed and healthy life. But without further ado, I want to invite to the platform Mr. John Patrick Mahoney. And would you stand with me as we honor him? And all right, praise God. Yay! Woo! Yeah!
Now, you're very kind. Very kind. Very kind. That's enough. That's good. I am totally blown away, humbled, and I don't know what to say about all this, but it's cool on one hand, it's very humbling on the other. You know, I just try to get kind of some cheerleading out of my own grandkids. That's hard, you know? So this is amazing. No.
Ice cream, Pat, ice cream. All right.
Hey, before we start, let me do a couple things. Sharon, come up here real quick.
Woo, Sharon. What, you want to come up here?
Pastor Reese mentioned it. I am nothing without her.
Amen.
We've been in this together for 48, 49 years. 48, 49 years. Yeah, we got married. I think we were the second wedding at the Orchard Road Church on Platte River. I mean, Happy Church on Platte River.
We beat the Grewells.
We beat the Grewells. You're still mad at me about that. But we've been at it, you know, all those years. And I've been by her side, she's been by my side. And you know, we do this thing together. This thing's called family.
Amen.
Amen. This is called family. This is how it works. You serve God together the best you can. Sometimes it doesn't work perfectly, but you just keep going. And you just keep trusting. You keep loving. And so I just appreciate this partner God gave me.
Woo-hoo!
And she's got a fantastic ministry of her own. She's a fabulous Bible teacher.
She's a very good Bible teacher.
We've been in this together in ministry, starting two different churches, doing different things together. It's hard to be a pastor's wife because pastors, as you well know, pastors, we give ourselves away to other people all the time. So when you come home, your wife is saying, "What about me? What about me?" And, you know, you got to be back there as a husband. And she's had to deal with that, dealing with a pastor all these years. It's not easy, but she's done it, and she's been called to do it, and she's been wonderful at it. I love
it. Amen.
Because of all the prayers of the saints. Now, also, I want my family to stand that
chair. Yeah!
This is what it's all about.
Woo-hoo!
This
yeah.
is it right here. Hallelujah! This is my... Many of you know them. Some of you knew them but when they were born. Many of you are good friends here from years ago, and I wish I could hug all of you. It's going to be challenging. But this is my daughter, Mary, my oldest daughter, Mary.
Hi, Mary.
Her husband, Henry, the great turkey
hunter.
Hi,
Henry.
No. My youngest daughter, Kate.
Katie. Yay, Kate.
And Katie was on staff here.
Yes, she was.
With her
Twice.
Husband, Dustin. They
Twice.
Were on staff here as children's pastors, youth pastors, make me look good in pastors meeting pastors. But they're in ministry. They're wonderful. Mary's a nurse. She's wonderful. Henry just shines in everything. He's just amazing. And then our wonderful, come up here, grandkids, right here. Come up here. Stand here and look out that way. Because this is partially why we're going to Greeley and kind of retiring. I guess we are retiring. It's because of Leif and Sam and Olive and Liam.
Yeah.
And many of you know Liam because he was here as just a little guy with Katie and Dustin, and Olive too.
She was going to say.
As a little girl.
Yeah.
So these are our wonderful grandchildren, and I was praying they'd give us 10 more, but something happened. You know? So I'll take 4 of them, hallelujah. Love you guys. Go ahead, you may be seated.
Wonderful.
So it's all about family, Pastor Reese. You know that. It's family, it's the church family. You know, this is what it's all about. We're family. And I love this. And I love seeing, if I can just roll on here for just 2 minutes.
Could I stop you?
No.
No.
Because we're going to get to the question.
Yeah, we are.
I promise.
Yeah.
But I see friends here. I see the Grewells. I see the Millers. Mark Miller was, you know, I was telling you I started in Maryland's tape duplicating department.
I had a picture of that.
Don't show that.
I will.
1978. 1978. Right, Mark? Mark Miller, who became a pastor, he and Susie, they've been in ministry their whole life. Mark was in the tape duplicating department with Marilyn by himself. And then I think Kenny Danning came in there somewhere. And then Mark left and became the youth pastor at Happy Church.
Oh.
And then I took his place in the tape department. Then he left and started his own church. And then I became the youth pastor at Happy Church. And then we followed him starting our own church down the road. So... Always one step behind. I think that's true. But the Millers...
But going in the right direction, Pat. Going in the right direction.
Well, actually, another story about Mark. Mark in 1970... I think it was 1978. They went off to Rhema College. Right? Rhema. Was that
76.
What did I say? 78? 76, 77. And the first car anybody ever gave me, it was at Happy Church on Washington Street Road.
Oh, wow.
I remember exactly where we were standing in front of the building. You guys were heading off to Rhema Bible College. And you said, Pat, I got a car. I don't need it now. I'm leaving this Bible College. Can you use this car? First guy who gave me a car was Mark Miller. I ran it into a tree and blew it up. No, I didn't. I didn't. But they've been longtime friends and just blessings. And same with Susie. Susie, God bless you. Love you. And long time. Susie has been around this ministry for many, many years. And the Gruels, what can I say about Randy and Carlene? Just love you guys so much and your kids and grandkids and everything else. It's just great to grow older knowing people for years. Amen?
Amen.
And there's many others here. I wish I could say something personal, but maybe we can out in the lobby.
Well, I do want to acknowledge one person.
Yes,
and
please.
It's Mrs. Vicki Palzer.
Yes,
and you know,
Vicki.
Her husband and I have served
Vicki,
together.
Love
so
you.
Vicki, just, you know, Barry was a wonderful, wonderful part of our family for so many years, but want to make sure we say hello to Vicki. So God bless you. All right.
Yeah, we were on staff together with Vicki and Barry.
Yep.
And Vicki, you came all the way down from... All the way from Greeley?
All the way from where you're
going to
live.
Yeah, that's where we are now. We live in Greeley. Some people were thinking we were going to retire and move to Hawaii. And I thought, why would we move to beautiful Hawaii when we can live in dusty, smelly Greeley? Why? Why would we retire in Honolulu?
It's called age-related dementia. No, I'm sorry, Pat.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know,
no.
Pat and I go back and forth, but I truly...
Take off, my friend.
No,
take
I just... and I told you I wouldn't cry, so I'm not going to cry. Because he said, be a man. I said, all right.
Be a man.
But, and he's going to be around. You know, you're going to be speaking for us in July.
Yes.
But
yes.
But I appreciate this man in ways that you'll never know. And... been a good friend.
And ditto on that.
And just been a good friend. Couldn't ask for a better friend.
Amen.
And thank you. And just a confidant, a support, a prayer partner, just a good man. With that, though, I have some questions that I sent you. So you should be prepared. Have you even looked at these?
I'm not prepared.
No.
Do I ever prepare?
You do. That is an unfair criticism, and because Pat does know the Word, know the Holy Spirit. But here's some things I want to start out with. Pat Mahoney. What are some of the foundational truths that have helped you define your faith, your values, and guide your life?
Okay, let me give that to my wife. No. When you talk about foundational anything, it has to go back to the early years of being born again and being at Happy Church. The foundation laid for me there, and for Sharon, because she was there at the same time. The foundation of faith, the foundation of trusting God, the foundation of righteousness, the foundation of the authority of the believer, the foundation of loving God's word, standing on God's word. Amen. We had a foundation laid for us the first 1, 2, 3, 4 years of being born again by Wally and Marilyn and so many others that you couldn't go anywhere after that and be a weak Christian. It was pumped into you, the power of the Holy Spirit. Speaking and praying in the Spirit, witnessing, sharing God's love with other people. You know Wally and Marilyn, they pumped it into us. And my foundation was the Word of God, the Word of, in fact, I got a story about the Word of God. I just had met Marilyn Hickey on South Washington, and I went outside. She and Wally used to stand on the sidewalk and greet people as people came out of church. Some of them came out kind of messed up because the worship was so wonderful. So, you know, there was a lot going on in those days. But I walked up to them saying, "Hi, I'm Pat. Hi, I'm Marilyn. You know, hi, Marilyn. I know who you are. You're on platform and everything else." She said, I said, "You know, I really want to learn. I want to grow. I want to whatever." She said, "I got an assignment for you." And this was what Marilyn would do. She said, "I'll tell you what. Go home, get the Old Testament, and start writing down on a yellow piece of paper all the kings of the Old Testament and all the prophets that worked with them." Now, mind you, I didn't know the Bible much at all. I was just needing to read the Gospel of John or something. She said, "Go home and write down all the kings and all the prophets. Put them together and bring that back to me and share with me what you think you learned." Well, I started in on that, made it for about maybe 10 kings, you know, whatever. Brought it back to her. She said, "Well, that's a good start, but you keep learning. You keep digging. You keep understanding." That was Marilyn challenging people. Get into the Word. Know the Word. Speak the Word. And that has stuck with me to this day. You can't get away from the Word of God. It is our foundation. So it is everything. So I don't know what the rest of the question was, but that was our foundation. So Please.
You would say that the bottom line is if you don't base the scriptures as canon, if I could use that term, as right. truth, if you don't get a revelation of God and his goodness and his promises for you,
right.
you really can't live what God has for you.
No, you really can't.
And it takes effort.
Yeah. You have to. Jesus is the Word. The Word is Jesus. So as we grow close to him, we're growing close to his Word. And out of that relationship comes wisdom and revelation and direction for our life. How many here, and I know many of you have had a word from God in your life that gave you direction? Of course, we all have. Why did you get that? Because you were taking time in God's Word to hear from him. You wanted to hear from him. We were desperate. We still are desperate to hear from him because we need to know what to do tomorrow, next month, and next year. And so, yeah, the Word is everything. And I look at Karen Zerger back there. Hi, Karen. She's been around our life for 40 plus years with Redeemers and everything else. Karen is that kind of a person in the Word, standing in the Word. And she had that foundation in her life, too.
All right. Second question.
Okay.
You were in the tape duplicating room, which sounds like a wonderful crucible for developing pastors, it sounds like, as a matter of fact.
We were good at it,
yeah,
Mark, weren't we? We were good.
But how did you, here you are, of course you were, how did you discover that you had a call on your life to go into ministry? And how would you advise someone today, some younger person today, who might think that they're being called into ministry? And how can they determine that they are?
The calling of God is so personal. I can't give a cookie cutter answer to that because it's very personal. But for me, I'll tell you what happened to me. I was born again, 1976, got baptized in the Holy Spirit, same month, up in Estes Park. It was 3 months later, I was standing in a parking lot in Estes Park where I felt like God said to me, and if, mind you, didn't know anything about the Bible, nothing about church, nothing about anything, but God was all over me. And he said, "I've called you to be a pastor." Didn't even know what it meant. I went to the Bible, started looking it up. Pastor. Oh,
have you figured that out yet?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm still working on it. Is it pester? Pester the people?
Oh,
no, pastor the people. I have been called Pester Pat, because some people need that. But anyway, it was a calling, serious calling of my spirit that never left me, hasn't left me to this moment. And with that calling came a fire. And the fire of God just calling me into ministry is still there. The passion, the love, the life of it, the joy of it, the desire for it. All of you who have been called know what I'm talking about in a particular area. You missionaries know what I'm talking about. It's there. It's from God. Now, we're all called, right? Everybody's called, according to Ephesians chapter 1. But there are particular callings, Ephesians chapter 4, that Jesus calls the fivefold ministry gifts. He is the caller of the prophet, the pastor, the evangelist, the teacher, the apostle. He is the one who calls. And that day I felt like Jesus called me. You're a pastor in my church. I said, okay. And that's how it happened to me. And then out of that, he begins to lead you to develop that, to meet people like you, Marilyn, others who help develop that, grow in that, understand what that means, and brings you through the fires to help prune it and see it glorify him more and more.
So just let's say you get a young person, young man, young woman, saying, oh, I feel an unction to want to teach the word of God. You said something I thought was really important. You said, but there's also got to be a love for people. There has to be that affection for people that you sincerely have a burden for them.
Yes.
And what's one practical step that you could ask? If you're sitting there and you're thinking, maybe I'm called to teach or maybe I'm called to whatever, what is one thing you would encourage somebody to do?
To enter into a particular ministry or
yeah, something. It's just to take a first step towards testing the waters to see if this calling is...
Yeah, start right where you're at. Start serving. I remember even though I knew God called me to be a pastor, when I went to Happy Church, I started helping just clean the toilets and serve in the church. You guys know what I'm talking about. They were over there. And you just start. You just start because you have a joy for God. You have a desire to help people. There's something fun about serving God, guys. And if you lose that fun, then you got to get back to it.
Amen.
God is fun. The joy of the Lord is our strength.
Amen.
And we should never lose it because it's who he is in us. And so I just started with a little bit, and it led me to the next step and the next step and the next step. And that's true not just with full-time ministry people, but all of us. Just follow the cloud wherever he leads you as a husband, a wife, a grandparent, a businessman. Just obey him. Let him lead you, and you'll see the next step to take. Amen?
Amen.
We all see it.
So you and I both came to Christ in the middle of the charismatic renewal.
Come on, Jesus.
Oh, it was fun times. How have you stayed a charismatic? A lot of people have moved the Holy Spirit into a back room, as it were, metaphorically. How have you been Pentecostal Pat all these years?
Pentecostal Pat? Should I run down the aisle? We used to have a guy like that.
Yeah, I know,
church,
I know.
Ran around the building.
Wally used to do that occasionally.
Yeah, he would. He was charismatic. A wonderful charismatic. Listen, the charismatic movement was a movement, but the charismatic movement was born by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And the Holy Ghost is always around. That never leaves. So, yeah, some people still say, Pat, you're kind of a long-time charismatic. Call me what you want, Pentecostal charismatic or crazy, but I am filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is alive and well, and I'm not going to box him up. And neither should you, because he needs to touch our world today. Amen. He does. How are we going to reach this country, this world, without the power of the Holy Spirit, folks? It's not going to happen. You got to know his power, and you got to know his word, and then you have to be obedient to what he leads to do. So I'm grateful, and so are you. I know you are too. I'm so grateful that I was born again, and Sharon as well, in the middle of the charismatic movement. How many were with us back in those days? Come on now. There was something that is hard to communicate to other people because it was a move of God, and may God do it again.
Amen.
Tenfold.
Amen.
But I'm thankful that I walked into the fire of God. I'm thankful I had teaching about what that meant and how it looked, and that I could have easily gotten off and been really weird because I'm Irish and I can be weird. But
I'm being quiet here.
Yeah, I know you are. But I had good leadership that said, you know what, that prophetic word was good, or that one wasn't, or you missed it there, or you should have been talking there, or you should have had more boldness to say something at that moment, whatever. I had good leadership in my life. So the charismatic influence on me, Pastor Reeves, prayerfully will never leave because it's the Holy Spirit and in us and on us.
The authenticity of it. It wasn't an emotional thing. It was an authentic thing. And it had emotions, but yeah.
Some emotions come with it. But yeah, there's a power. I give you power to cast out devils. I give you power to speak my name, etc. It's the power of God. May we have power today because we can't do it any other way.
Well, we got three questions. We're going to get through them quick, and then I'm going to give you a time to elongate or whatever you wish to. So, what do you, as a pastor, what do you wish church members knew about pastors that would help you pastor them better?
That's a good question because the church is made up of sheep, quote, sheep and shepherds, but we're all the body of Christ, all the family of God. I think it's good. I think it would be important for people in the church to realize that God has placed shepherds in your life. Call it over you. If you get offended by that, fine, put set it aside. But either way, when you are in the family of God, God has set up the local church, divinely set it up by the power of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, et cetera. The Apostle Paul went about starting churches all over the place. Why? Because God's people needed shepherds. I think the challenge today is there's been a lot of trust lost between the average Christian and the shepherds and the leaders. And rightly so. There's been a lot of malarkey that has gone on in pastors' lives, leaders' lives. And, you know, I get it.
But that's a great word, by the way, malarkey. I haven't heard that for a while.
It's a good word. It works. But anyway, for sheep to understand us is just understand we are people. We're human. We're fallible. You all know that. And so pray. You need to pray for your leaders. You need to expect God to use your leaders to speak into your life. Come with an expectation that they have something to give you for the word of God. And then as pastors, we prepare ourselves to do that. Amen. Amen. We study. We pray. We take time out with the Holy Spirit. We forgive. We move on. We don't let offenses get on us. We just love people. Keep going. Just keep, you know, God never stops. Just keep going and let the body, the family of God work like it's supposed to. And it takes trust to do that. We have to trust each other.
Amen. And you've always been trustworthy, always. What are three things that you found most rewarding? I mean, this is a very deep question, I guess.
Is this the last one?
There's one more. And then
Jesus help me.
You're doing very well. What are three things that you found most rewarding about being a pastor?
Oh, wow. There's so many. The people, number one. Yeah. I just love being around the people. And sometimes people think I'm crazy because of that. But you know, when you have a shepherd's heart, you want to be around the sheep. And I do love that.
You do.
And it's very rewarding for me to see people grow spiritually. They get saved. They start coming to church. They want to know the Bible. There's something so rewarding in seeing that process happen in people's lives as a pastor. And then it's nice to begin to see people wanting to get out there and reach the lost as well. Right. And it's rewarding to see the multiplication of believers wanting to reach other believers. And for me, the biggest reward is just communicating Jesus to people. And to have these kind of relationships. Look at Frieda and Jerry. Relationships. This is what it's all about. And it's so rewarding as a pastor and just a person, a friend, for Sharon and I to see all of you and say, I've known you 40 years. I've known you almost 50 years. That, as a pastor, is amazing. And it's rewarding. And I thank God for it. I really do. All the time. All the time.
Well said, Boak. Last question, and then I told you, you're free to say whatever is on your heart after this.
I don't have much left.
All right. Do you have any experiences or memories from ministry or all the time that you're willing to share? Because there's some private things that are nobody else's business.
But you'll never know.
Yeah, indeed. But that you hold especially dear.
Oh, golly. Ministry things that we've done. I one of the dearest parts of my heart, Sharon and I's heart, is starting the Denver Singles. 1981. Who said that?
Your wife.
Oh. Well, you pointed over. Oh, you were born that year. She became our first Denver single. No, the Denver Singles. And how many here were in the Denver Singles back then? Raise your hand. Some of you are still with us. Some of you are still alive. Thank God. Thank God. No, the Denver Singles, like a baby in our arms. We just, it was wonderful and glorious. And I thank God for that. Memories, when this is separate from Happy Church, but when Sharon and I went to San Diego, planted Seed Time and Harvest Church. That will always be a wonderful, wonderful thing to say, God, thank you for that. Same with River of Life Church that we serve. God, thank you for that.
And both of those churches are still going on, right?
Both are working. Absolutely. But, well, Seed Time has morphed into a missionary ministry called Seed Time, but River of Life is continuing here in the West Denver area, which, again, some of our friends were a part of that. They put up with me over there, and I wasn't that great over there, frankly. But it's the Denver Singles counseling people. When I was counseling people to see marriages better, people better, to see people get set free, Reese, you know what that is.
Absolutely.
It's nothing like it to see the light bulbs go on and say, yeah, I get it. Oh, you get that? Well, I'm shocked. You got that. All right, you're free. Hallelujah. And laying hands on people, seeing the demonic broken off of people, always wonderful because Satan is about to trying to destroy God's people. It's always good to see people get free. And we've seen that so many times. And so many other ministries, the Redeemers, working with the Redeemers now for 20 plus years, tremendous opportunity and joy in our lives as far as a memory of ministry. That will be with us forever. There's so many things. And of course, working with staff, I look at these guys and you, and how many pastoral staffs have we seen over the years? Yeah. Many. I think of Greg Carr, Frida, Greg Carr, and others. You know, these are memories that are just, will go to heaven with us. And of course, Wally in Maryland, opportunities of ministry with them that they coached us in. So there's so many things, Pastor Reese, that we're grateful for, but that's some of them.
Well, this is a time for you to speak. And then we're going to be laying hands over them. We have some gifts for you and Sharon. But uh-oh, what do you want to share?
Oh, boy, I've shared it all, I think. I don't have much to share, but I have to stand up.
Okay.
Because this chair is
hard. Yeah, come on.
Let me wax eloquent. No. Listen, people. Family is everything. I've said this before, but I can't get away with it. It's so strong in my heart. This family is everything. This family is everything. Now, when we were early in ministry, Sharon and I might have neglected our kids a little bit. I don't know how much, but maybe a little. And but it can happen when you're young and in ministry and on fire. But I want them to know, because I think they know this, that you're everything to us. Not this. You are everything to us.
Amen.
And that needs to be true in all of our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Family. Protect your family. Pray for your family. Love your family. Forgive your family. Spend time with your family because, boy, can it go by quick. And I'm going to try to do as much time with these guys as I possibly can, especially Leif and Sam because they live a little further away, so we got to get over to their place. But Liam and Olive, it's family. But then this family, the spiritual family, Reese, is everything. And Pastor Wally just had a pastoral heart for the family of God, the church of Jesus Christ. Jesus died for the church. This is not a man-made thing. This is not dreamt up by some apostle. This was dreamt up by Jesus himself. The body of Christ, the church of Jesus, the worldwide spiritual church of Jesus. It's all about him. He's the head of the church. And sometimes you hear people bash the church. You hear Christians bash each other. Do you know you're bashing a child of the living God? And there's too much in the church today of gossip and complaining and negativity. And we're talking about the King of Kings who laid his life down to give us what we have right here. It's a sobering thing. It is a powerful thing. But yet, it is something that is, we're made up of broken lives. I get it. We come in here, we all have our baggage. You have a lot more than me, but we all, no, I'm kidding. We all have our baggage. We come in here, we carry past things with us. We're hurt, we're broken, but that's the church. Don't be shocked at that when you sit down near somebody who might still be smoking pot in their car.
I
Yeah. Did you, though? I smelled something today. I'm concerned. No, it is amazing. I just love the church of Jesus. And I pray that if you have anything harboring in your heart against the church, whether this church, whatever, any leader, any, please forgive them because they know not what they do. Right? They're just human, for Pete's sakes. We're just trying to serve the King of Kings, and we trip, we fall, but we get up 7 times. Amen? And we keep on moving. So if I have any, yeah, give Jesus a clap. Go ahead. To Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We give you glory. It's all about him. There's nothing more I can say. It's all about him.
Give it up for Mr. John Patrick.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about Encounter Church, visit ecdenver.org or find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram.